Republican candidates vying for Idaho's open first congressional district seat took to the stage last night for their latest televised debate, and they all promised one thing: to support President Donald Trump's agenda. Those six candidates also agreed and disagreed on other topics. Melissa Davlin with Idaho Public Television and Seth Ogilvie, also with Idaho Public Television, join me live in studio to break down last night's debate. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Melissa, you were on the panel. Seth, you produced the debate last night.
Yeah, way too many of them, six in total. It took a lot out of us.
Right.
So I appreciate you being here. You moderated the debate.
Right.
First, I'd like to know from both of you how the tone and the feel was going into the debate last night.
Well, I would say that this debate actually had a much more friendly tone than a lot of the other ones. I mean, there was a low level of tension, I think, that we had for the governor debate, both of them, for the treasurer debate, just with the recent news that was going on, and even the lieutenant governor's debate. Mm-hmm. This one seemed pretty amicable. Everyone seemed to get along, and it might be because you have a lot more professional candidates, really, in this.
And not only that, there were certainly some elbows thrown, but these candidates, I think almost more than any other race, have been at a lot of Lincoln Days together. They know each other professionally, and even the jabs were done in kind of a humorous, friendly way.
They all have a smile.
And let's be clear, all of these candidates want to win. All of them are serious about being elected to Congress. But it wasn't as, I don't want to say nasty, but
as we've seen.
But yeah, I mean, there has been a lot of tension in that studio for a lot of the debates that we've had, and people leaving without shaking hands or acknowledging each other. That didn't happen last night. There were some really friendly goodbyes after there were closing statements, and you know, one candidate I pretty much joked about the other one dying because he's old.
But really vote for her. So let's talk about the candidates if people aren't familiar with who they are, because there were six of them, and this, and we're talking the Republican side of this election.
Right.
And I think a lot of it just comes down to personality with the differences in them. They're all pretty much the same strain of Republican. I mean, if you think about the large rainbow of political ideology, they're all pretty much red. They're just different shades of red. And I see a lot of difference in the style. I mean, I think the one differentiation you saw was Luke Malik yesterday kind of distancing himself slightly from Trump. He still supports Trump, but he said some bad things. And I think that might be the most distinction I saw within a lot of the candidates.
And the comment that Malik made that I thought stood out was about being raised by women. And to respect women, right.
Yes. He was raised to respect women. And that stood out on a panel where so many people are not only running to the right and prove that they are the true conservative, but they're also talking about how they not only support President Trump himself and his agenda, but also think that a lot of the criticisms against him are distractions. We did see David Leroy, candidate, stand up for this independent investigation and stand up for Special Investigator Robert Mueller. When you had Russ Fulcher say that he hadn't even been paying attention to the issue very much, and he thought it was a distraction. He even used the word propaganda at one point. So there were certainly clear differences in how people presented themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would disagree with Seth slightly that they're not all the same brand of Republican. Even as people are running to the right, you have somebody like Michael Snyder from North Idaho, first-time candidate, has never been elected to public office before, pretty much running as a pro-Trump candidate. You know, he certainly has policy suggestions and ideas, but his identity, his brand as a candidate, has just been pro-Trump. You don't see that as much with the other candidates. And I think in the places where people aren't running to the right as much, you see that with Christy Perry on justice reform. You saw that with Luke Malik and some of his criticisms of President Trump's style. That's where people really stand out.
I wanted to ask, too, was it Snyder who is the one who did not vote for Trump?
Yes.
He claims that he was traveling at the time and couldn't actually vote for Trump outside of being the biggest Trump cheerleader we have in that race.
And there's another candidate who's a first-time candidate in that debate as well.
Right. So his name is Alex Gallegos, political newcomer. You know, even Michael Snyder, as a political newcomer, had an online presence as a conservative voice, you know, as a conservative writer. Alex Gallegos is a retired lieutenant colonel from the Army and has really championed veterans' issues on this campaign, raised a surprising amount of money. I think when we saw the FEC reports, we were, to be honest, a little bit shocked because he's raised more money than political, you know, known quantities like Christy Perry. Absolutely.
And he's I wouldn't say he's a single no candidate, but I think a lot of his politics comes from the military ideas. Like he thinks that sensibility should be in Washington, taking that idea of service to Washington. And a lot of the stuff comes out of his experience in the military.
We're speaking with Melissa Davlin and Seth Ogilvy with Idaho Public Television about last night's first congressional district Republican debate. If you have questions or comments for Melissa and Seth, please contact us. You can do that by email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. You can also tweet us, KBSX 91.5. Use the hashtag Idaho Matters or on our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. And before we get back to our discussion, I want to tell you quickly about tomorrow's program. We will be talking about the proposed stadium that is set for downtown Boise. A lot of controversy surrounding this issue. If you have questions or comments about that, email us and we may be talking about your questions on the air tomorrow. Again, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And getting back to our conversation, Seth and Melissa, there, as you said, there were some sparring going on, but you said there are some moments that we should talk about.
Yeah, there were a number that stood out to me. You know, we saw Fulcher saying that he wasn't even paying attention mm-hmm. to the special investigation. I also thought that it was notable that some of the candidates said that they would not vote for an Affordable Care Act repeal without a replacement. Others said that they would go full on for the repeal. Right. Michael Snyder was mm-hmm. one of them. You know, repeal as soon as possible. We'll worry about everything else. But, you know, Christy Perry in particular made a name for herself in the legislature as somebody who was pretty thoughtful about health care issues. Wasn't a fan of the Affordable Care Act, to be sure. Mm-hmm. That said, she was pretty concerned about coming up with a solution under the current statute. And so she made it pretty clear that she wanted to see a replacement that made sense before she would vote for an ACA repeal.
Yeah, I think you saw both Representative Malik and Representative Perry said that they would not vote to repeal without anything to replace it. All other four candidates were mm-hmm. open to the idea of let's just repeal and figure out what's going to go in this place.
And what about David Leroy's comment about, you know, needing, I believe his quote was, and some gray hair, a statesman in this position versus Christy Perry has been truly touting herself as the girl with the gun.
Sure, sure. And Leroy is, with all due respect, the elder statesman
he is.
In that field.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
He's older. You have candidates, youngest would be Luke Malik mm-hmm. at 36 years yeah. old, you know, ranging, most of them are in their 40s and 50s at mm-hmm. this point. And then you have David Leroy, who has experience in government on multiple levels, both legislatively right. and executive, former lieutenant governor, former attorney general, has run multiple campaigns before. And the way he campaigns now is different than these other candidates, too. He's not just selling himself. He's also selling his wife. It's a very old-fashioned style. It's mm-hmm. it's you're sending all of us to Washington. You're sending my family, my wife, to Washington, and I'll go along with her. And we were kind of talking about this a little bit last night about how that's really attractive to some of the, you know, family values Reagan voters that probably remember Lieutenant Governor Leroy, mm-hmm. you know, remember Attorney General Leroy. How that might play for younger Republicans who are saying, you know what, your wife's not running for Congress.
You are.
You are, and I want to know more about you. You know, I mean, that said, his wife is great and is very involved in Republican politics, but it is a very different style of campaigning that really stood out last night.
And if we know anything about Republican primaries, normally the older folks show up. So this might be a definite advantage for David Leroy, and especially when you have someone like Christy Perry talking about the last breath of his political life.
So talk about this.
And he got a huge applause from the folks in our studio when he said, and with my last breath, I'd like to do this in his closing argument. I mean, it was a funny line. I don't know if it has any policy implications, but it was absolutely a hilarious moment in the debate.
And to back up a little bit, you know, Christy Perry in her closing remarks, you know, the only woman in this race, mm-hmm. the only woman on the stage, was throwing some elbows in her closing remarks. In her last 90 seconds that she got to speak, she went after Russ Fulcher for changing his mind on running for governor and then changing to CD1. And then she went after David Leroy and and pretty much called him old. I mean, that's exactly what was going on. David Leroy, to his credit, rolled with it. And opened, you know, he started his closing remarks with my last breath, this is what I'd like to do. And, you know, and going back to even when Christy Perry was throwing her elbows, it stood out. But well, and if that's the worst attack of the night, it wasn't that bad.
Because we've seen worse in this campaign. I mean, not this campaign, but in this election cycle in other races.
Oh, yes, we have. We've seen worse in the last 24 hours races. It's getting nasty in other races. And that's a discussion for another day, but also other parties, quite frankly.
And Representative Malik also had a funny joke at the end saying, maybe we need less of that gray hair. Maybe we need no hair going to Congress because he's bald.
He's bald.
He's a bald. Yeah. Sorry, Luke.
But the one major takeaway I think I would take from that is everyone thinks that Fulcher's in the lead. I mean, you saw everyone going at Russ Fulcher. He was the centerpiece of this debate. I think that you see that the other candidates are probably looking at something, reading the tea leaves or looking at polls saying, we need to take Russ down a bit. Mm-hmm. And he's the target for this debate.
Yeah, I'd agree with that assessment.
Well, and I have to wrap it up. Thank you, both of you, for coming in. Seth and Melissa, really appreciate it. Seth Ogilvie and Melissa Davlin from Idaho Public Television. I appreciate you breaking down the debate last night. And if you did not get a chance to watch last night's debate, we will be rebroadcasting the debate tonight right here on Boise State Public Radio News at 7 p.m.